taken from Mark 6, verses 7 to 13. Then Jesus went round teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Those were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Sorry, I'm struggling to see. Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. The 12 drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 17, and this is Jesus sending out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pray for Tim as he comes to speak. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you've spoken to Tim in his preparation. We ask that you would fill him with your spirit as he speaks now. Let his words be your words to us today, and help us to have open ears and hearts to listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today I'm going to talk to you about teamwork. The first examples of teamwork found in the Bible are in the opening chapter of Genesis. There we find the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working in concert at creation. Each member of the Godhead had a position to fill in the creation of the world. Each one had a defined job to perform. On the sixth day of creation, God fashioned Adam and Eve, the first human team. They were designated to complement each other and mirror the image and the community, the teamwork of the Trinity. Then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. So God created man in his own image. He created them in the image of God. He created them, male and female. When I was, I'm going to tell you a story that I've already told you before, but it's such a good story about teamwork. Now, I was 11 years old, and I lived in Nigeria, near the capital, Lagos. And just outside, there was a park called Okoye Park. And as this 11-year-old boy was walking through the park, they had the juiciest of mangoes you'd ever, you know, and I made such a mess of myself eating it. But as I was walking through the park, there's a man-made ditch, and it turned at 90 degrees. As I was walking along the rise of the ditch, I noticed the mud skippers in the muddy water. And every time I walked past, they shot in. And as I went past them, they came out. So I thought, it was great as an 11-year-old child. So I was running up and down, watching these fish, in the corner of my eye, watching these fish go in, out, in, out, in, out. And I soon got bored of that. But as I turned the 90-degree corner, I saw in the tree something that I can see clearly now in my mind, stuck with me for 47 years. And that was, there's a load of ants on two leaves. And those ants were all scurrying around, seemed to be doing what they needed to do, all organised. And then I saw a line of ants walking across to this other leaf that was about a foot away. Now the ants on the nest started dropping down as a ladder. So they were hanging, swinging on each other, holding each other on like a trapeze act. And they went to this leaf, and they did the same there. As they were doing it, and they got to the right length, how they knew, only God knows, they started swinging away from each other and then towards. And eventually they caught. And when they caught, they walked along each other, and you could physically see the leaf being pulled into the nest. On the nest, around the perimeter, there was ants reaching out to grab the new leaf. And as they grabbed the new leaf, they were pulling it tighter, and the ones at the bottom where it was touching started weaving it together. And as an 11-year-old boy, I was watching this for 2 hours. And I had to be dragged away from that scene, screaming, because it was such, I was just so mesmerised. It was better than any film I've ever watched. And I just wonder if God has put the creatures of the earth on the earth to be an example to you and me. Because there's no other example of teamwork better than that I've ever seen. And as we turn to the scriptures, we've got Exodus 17:10-13. So Joshua fought with the Amalekites, as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held his hands up in the air, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered them, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, Aaron and Hur held them up. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And as they held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that the hands remained steady and still till sunset, Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. So in that scripture, Joseph was part of a team. And there was other people in that team. For Joshua to win, God had to be acting with the team to make that work. It wasn't a one-man show. Joshua didn't win it on his own. Behind an able man, there is always another able man, a Chinese proverb. Teamwork is so important in this leadership today. No matter how great you are as a leader, you can do much more when you have a team of people around you. One is too small a number to achieve greatness. In this pandemic, it was not one man and not a one-man show to defeat the virus. We had the scientists, we had the doctors, we had the nurses, we had the care workers, we had the police, and we had many others who were working together. It was a team effort. Together, everyone achieves more. In Ephesians 4:12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, refers to the church, the community of believers, as the body of Christ. The church is to work as a team. Jesus had a team. Jesus' 12-man team was marked by its diversity. One was a tax collector, you're free to boo. Several were fishermen. One was politically active and known as the zealot. One might think that Jesus, of all people, would not have enlisted the help of others to accomplish the things the Father had sent him to do. This one who could still the storms, raise the dead, heal the sick, make the blind see and the lame walk, bind the demonic, forgive sin, and even call 10,000 angels to his aid, still enlisted a team of men, a small band of disciples. These were men from all walks of society that had lots of faults. If Jesus had a team, how much more do you as a leader need a good team by you? If all Jesus did was come, die, and rose again, it would have been useless. He needed a team to assist and also to carry on the work. He sent them out on different tasks. As we know, in major sports and corporate world, they have a team. We often hear the term team player, team effort. Brian Lara could not do everything. Lionel Messi couldn't do everything, although he gave it a good go. The person who bowls is just as important as the person who bats. The person who scores is just as important as the person who defends. Everyone has an important role to play. There is no jealousy in teamwork. When the whole team is working for the glory of God, there is no internal competition. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Easter wouldn't have happened without a team. We need to see ourselves as part of the team. We can't talk about leadership without talking about teamwork. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their effort. For if either falls, their companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person keep warm? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. No leader can do everything, no matter how anointed you are. They just cannot. David had his group of mighty men around him. Robin Hood had his merry men. They were not gifted in everything. Even if they were, they would just burn out. Don't make your team take your team for granted. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, had to talk to him. One of the problems in the church today is its failure to function as a team. Too frequently, we have situations where a few people, often very gifted, are trying to do all or most of the work. You need to give others a chance to shine. No person is an island. A teamwork mentality is another one of the litmus test qualities of maturity. Leaders need to have a team and depend on them as well. Some leaders are scared to allow others to shine because people may like them more than them. This is not about you. If that is how you think, maybe you should give up your position. Part of the responsibility of the church through its leadership involves first the ability to appreciate the gifts and abilities of a variety of people, and then the ability to help them find their place of ministry in accordance with their own gifts, personalities, and God's specific leading. Because we too often fail to do this, we end up with a futile exercise of attempting to fit a square peg in a round hole. Churches and their leaders must help the members of the body of Christ work to their strengths rather than their weaknesses. Everyone has a unique gift to them by the Holy Spirit. Jesus developed his team by delegating. However, Jesus gave his disciples exciting jobs to do. Once he sent 72 people on a challenging excursion to preach the gospel and heal the sick. They weren't even allowed to take any money or supplies. Jesus wasn't afraid to give authority to others. He gave the 12 power and authority over demons as to cure diseases. Look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, all over the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. He gave authority to the 72. In fact, the whole point of the tiny parable is it is like a man on a journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants, gave each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to be alert. The whole point of the parable is that he has given authority to all his servants. Jesus gave his team a shared mission and a common goal. Their mission was the Great Commission. Their common goal was to witness empowered by the Holy Spirit. For the leaders, think of everyone in your team, every single person who comes out, and ask God to show you how they can be used in their strengths to grow and to develop, and to fulfill the overall mission. For the non-leaders, think of what you can bring to the table to help the team go further. The whole point of this message is to understand we are all part of a team and we need all hands on deck. Mother Teresa said, "I can do what you cannot do. You can do what I cannot do. But together we can do great things." And I'll finish with a resume for the apostles, just to show that man is not necessarily correct. If we trust in God, Jesus chose the 12, the imperfect 12, to do a perfect job. And I've got a resume of the apostles. To Jesus, son of Joseph, woodcrafters, carpenter, shop, Nazareth. From Jordan Management Consultants. "Dear Sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for managerial positions in your new organisation. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer, but also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant, no less. The profiles of all tests are included, and you will want to study them carefully. As part of our service, we make some general comments for your guidance, much as an auditor will include some general statements. This is given as a result of staff consultation and comes without any additional fee. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience in managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interests above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine moral. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew had been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus and Theudas, definitely have radical leanings, and they both registered a high score on the manic depressive scale. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He is a man of ability and of resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All of the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. Sincerely, Jordan Management Centre. And as we finish in prayer. Sovereign Father, we lift our whole church up to you, and we lift Oldham Church up to you as well. And we ask that the team leaders are open-minded, open-eyed, and we see the gifts that each individual person has, and we encourage their gifts. We take them further on their journey in ministries. We thank you for all the work you've done at Mark's Tay and all the people we have sent forward. As we are a team in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let's just continue in prayer. Let's just ask the Lord what he would have us hear today from him. Lord, what's your word to me today? Is there something that I should go and do? Some way that I should respond? How can I be part of the team and play my part? Lord, give me the boldness and the courage to put my hand up and to join in and take part. In Jesus' name, amen.